Thank you all for coming to be here in faith and for seeking Jesus Christ in his one true church, the Catholic Church. I thank the Holy Spirit for giving you the grace to make this commitment, and I thank you on behalf of everyone in the diocese for receiving that grace and coming here to indicate your willingness to live out that grace in a way that's wholehearted. Special word of thanks to Monsignor Gunn for welcoming us here, for his hospitality, to Father Greg and to Father David, Deacon Norb. Thank you all, one and all. Dear diocesan choir, thank you for your always beautiful assistance as we offer up a beautiful sacrifice of praise to the Lord, that beauty which you so profoundly add to by your competence and by your professional and spiritual gifts. Led by Dr. Gorman. Thank you so very, very much. One of the lines that I think I've used every year at the rite of election, I'll use again because it's a truism that's true. You're about to embark the bark of Peter, the ship, or St. Peter is the captain. And that ship is a battleship. It's not a cruise ship. And it's certainly not Carnival. That proposes another kind of a battle for the poor victims who think they're going to hang around the ice sculptures at the midnight buffet for a week. We won't even talk about where they got to hang out. It's a battleship, not a cruise ship. And the battle is against the devil. The battle is against the forces of evil. So, dear catechumens and candidates, we cannot for a moment be naive of what we're getting into. We are not getting into the religion of our day. I'm going to give you a couple of words here. The religion of our day, which has rightly been called moralistic, therapeutic deism. You don't have to remember the words, just remember the description. And remember that it's bad news. Moralistic, therapeutic deism. This religion of our day and age is deism. There's a God who set the world on its course and basically doesn't have too much interest in what happens after that. God wishes no evil in that religion, but he doesn't actively participate in bringing out the good or the best in this world. He just keeps his distance so that people don't have to reckon with him at all if they don't want to. That's deism. That deism is moralistic. That means In this religion, the main thing is that we gotta be nice in our behavior towards others. Just be nice. Smile at people. Hold the door open. Be nice. But this moralism has nothing to do with the natural law. This moral law says nothing about abortion. It says nothing about gay marriage. It says nothing about respect for conscience. Why? Because it's deism, which is moralistic and also therapeutic. The main point is just to be nice to everybody, don't hurt anybody. But the second main point is therapeutic. The point of this religion is that everybody comes to church in order to feel better about himself or herself, and everybody leaves with a nice, warm, fuzzy feeling about himself or herself. Moralistic, therapeutic deism. God is distant enough that I can make him out to be whatever I want. He doesn't make any serious moral demand besides be nice, don't hurt anybody. And one of the main desires of those who practice this religion is that they always feel better and better about themselves. It's like therapy. It is moralistic, therapeutic deism. That's the religion of our time. Now, unfortunately, there are some of my Catholic brothers and sisters who are into moralistic, therapeutic deism. I don't get a lot of letters anymore. I think a lot of people have given up on me. But I used to get regular letters, but Bishop, you gave that homily, you gave that sermon, and I came to church to feel good about the world and about life, and you disappointed me. It wasn't therapeutic enough. Didn't feel like therapy. It didn't end with a warm fuzzy. The church which you're entering is not practicing the religion of moralistic, therapeutic deism. If somehow you've fallen into that already, before you're even baptized or confirmed, it's good for you to know today that's counterfeit. That's counterfeit. That ain't the point when the water of baptism is poured and the anointing of confirmation is administered. It's not that. Because, as the gospel reading says so well, and it says it so quickly that you could almost pass over it, he showed Jesus all of the kingdoms of the world in their power and glory, and he said, since all of this has been handed over to me, I can give it to whomever I want. So this is what you need to do if you want all the kingdoms of the world with their power and glory. You need to worship me. All the kingdoms of the world with their power and glory have been handed over to me, says the devil. That's why this is a battleship and not a cruise ship. Because ever since the sin of Adam and Eve, evil has had a certain reign in the world. In the resurrection of Jesus Christ, we know that evil will in the end be conquered by good, by the risen power of Jesus Christ. We know that evil doesn't have the final victory. But it doesn't take too much insight to see that evil is alive and well. And it's out there in the kingdoms of the world and their power and their glory. And those kingdoms with their power and their glory are stirred up with evil because the devil is on the job 24/7. Moralistic, therapeutic deists don't believe in the devil. Catholics do. We would be foolish not to. So we are born into a world where evil has a certain strong influence led by a super intelligent, super strong being, superhuman intellect, superhuman will, who is the devil and his angels. There are many of them. That's the first thing we see from that short phrase in today's gospel reading. The world is charged with the grandeur of God. The world is receptive to grace for those who are interested. But even for them, temptation will come because the world is charged with evil from the sin of Adam and Eve, conquered by Christ, but yet to be worked out in history. The weeds grow up with the wheat until harvest time. And we got to spend a good bit of time dealing with the weeds that are out there growing. That's the first point of two. So we got to be realistic as we prepare to enter the church. This is a battleship against the devil and his angels, a battleship against the forces of evil in the world that are at the moment stronger rather than weaker. Look at all the violence in the world. Look at all the hedonism. Look at all the materialism. Look at all the selfishness. Look at the complete ignoring of the natural law. There's no such thing as a Catholic who is pro-choice or pro-gay marriage or pro-restriction of religious freedom. No such thing as that. Let's be clear and honest about the church into which we enter, clear and honest about the truth of Christ. Now, there's another phrase right at the end of the gospel reading that could also be missed. The gospel word said, when the devil finished all of these temptations, seems to hint that there were more than those mentioned. When the devil finished with all of these temptations, he departed for a time. The devil doesn't give up. He departed for a time. That's why coming into the Catholic Church, the sacrament of penance, going to confession is so important, so that we receive Holy Communion in a state of grace and are strengthened by confession and communion to deal with the fact that the devil never gives up. And the holier life that you're able to live with God's grace, the less the devil will give up on you. The more holy you are, the more attractive a trophy you are for the devil to crash. Through discouragement or whatever. The more you are chasing after holiness, the better you get the devil's attention. And the harder he will work to destroy you by deceiving you. Remember, he's a liar and he's the father of lies. So chase after holiness as new Catholics, by all means. But don't forget for a minute that your adversary, the devil, is roaming about like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. And the holier you are, the more he wants to devour you. And he's armed with a superhuman intelligence and a superhuman will to wage war against Jesus Christ by waging war against his grace alive in you. So, it's a wonderful time to be together. It's a wonderful moment to give thanks to God for the grace of the vocation to be a Catholic. It's a joyful time, but it's a serious time too, because being Catholic never amounts to belonging to a club of therapeutic, moralistic deists. It's not a club of people who have chosen that path. There is a part of the church like that, and that part of the church is holding us all back as we try to rush toward holiness in Christ. And we have to invite that church with love out of its doldrums. We've got to call it forth from darkness into the unapproachable light of Christ. Today you are proclaiming publicly that you want to be part of that family of light in Christ, not the family of darkness. Look forward to your candle at the Great Easter Vigil in all of your parishes. Look forward to that candle, and don't get into something or other about, oh, this candle is a nuisance, I'm liable to dribble wax, I'm afraid I'm going to burn somebody. Don't get into that. If you're focused on that light at the Easter Vigil that you are about to become in Christ, the last thing you'll do is drip the wax the wrong way or burn somebody. You'll be focused on that light. It will be your pride and your joy. You will understand the beautiful hymn to the Easter candle. a flame divided but undimmed, a pillar of fire that glows to the honor of God. At the Easter Vigil, you will be transformed by the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit into a pillar of fire for the honor and the glory of God. All aglow for the honor and glory of God. Yes, you. Really, you. That's a lot to look forward to. And there's every reason to be fervent in prayer and in love of one another as you continue to prepare to be enlightened through baptism or through confirmation or both. When we chant at the Easter Vigil, the light of Christ, we thank God first of all for Christ, the light. We thank God secondly for the light of Christ as it's lived and taught in the church. But thirdly, the light of Christ refers to the baptized, confirmed, Eucharisted community. When we sing about praising the light of Christ, we take joy in the fact that we are praising God for his mighty deeds worked in the heart of so many of you women and men who are here today because you love the Lord and you love his church. Let it always be so. Praised be Jesus Christ.